You're listening
to Welcome to Comics, episode number 308. This week, we talk about voodoo, what lies beneath. Visit welcometocomics.com, hear past episodes, see what we're reading next, or send us feedback. This show is supported by listeners like you. Access bonus episodes by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now, the cast begins.
Oh, so the important question I need to ask you guys is, does buying Star Wars Battlefront 2 make me a bad person?
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit. But that's okay, because we all do bad things.
I really want to play it.
I really want to buy it too.
Just buy it. Support the man.
Like... For me, like, okay, so there's the two things, right? And the one that gets the big part is that, like, in order to unlock Vader, you have to pay $6 or play X number of hours. And, like, the one said, in order to unlock all the heroes, you have to play 4,000 hours, at which point Battlefront 3 will be out and the servers for Battlefront 2 will probably be shut down. like, okay, but that's kind of gaming these days, and I'm willing to accept that. I mean, I get that that's pay-for-play instead of, like... Like, I pay a $6 game, and then I pay another $6 to play Vader, who's on the fucking cover of the box. Like, I understand that frustration, but I am more frustrated at how much they were trumpeting, like, hey, look, we have single-player mode, except the single-player campaign doesn't finish in the game. You pay $60 for a game for a single-player experience, and it's not done. You have to pay for the DLC later to get the single-player game done. Like, that's the one that gets me. Like, multiplayer, that's great, but I mean, if it's a 40v40, like, battle on Hoth, I'm gonna run and die, and it doesn't matter who I am. Like, it'll have a little more fun, a little less fun, I'm gonna die in 10 seconds or 20 seconds, okay. But, like, for me, the point of buying it would be the single-player campaign, but it doesn't finish. It's not a complete game.
I thought the single-player was just really short.
Was it? I heard that it continues in the DLC.
Well, that's like all games nowadays, right?
No, but like, I don't know. The way I had read it, and I don't know. I was there for like the initial Reddit blow up, and since then, I'm like, I'm not gonna pay. I don't pay $60 for a game anymore. I never bought the first one, so I'm like, I could get all up in arms about this, but really, the chances of me buying it at $60 is slim anyway. But I was like,
well, see, so the reason I've been thinking about it is right now the digital deluxe version is 40% off.
Ooh.
So it's $48, or the regular edition is $35.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it keeps tanking hard, it's going to get cheap fast. Like Mass Effect Andromeda, another EA flub, that went down in price real quick. That's like $20 now. That was a AAA title from like 4 months ago.
I don't know. I mostly just want to run around in the 40v40 thing and die.
I really want to do the space stuff. Go.
Apparently, that's a lot better than it was in Battlefront 1.
Hmm. Yeah, I really like. I see a friend of mine who's a streamer, and she streams Battlefront every once in a while, and she like kicks ass on the X-wing, and I'm like, that looks really fucking fun. I miss like X-wing for MS-DOS. I don't know if I can go get that, but it feels old.
Oh, you can. There's a Steam has a Star Wars thing on sale right now.
Yes. Turns out I didn't own KOTOR 2, so I bought it for $4.
Hey,
like, yes. I looked at it and I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And then it's like, "You have like 48 of 50 games in your library." Oh, no. It says I have 22 of 24 items in the bundle already.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, Andy, the bundle is, you get 24 Star Wars games and it's $6.
Yeah, just buy it. It's worth it. If you did not keep all your discs from high school.
I actually do have quite a few of them.
Really? I got rid of all of mine. I got rid of like so many discs and now I'm regretting it, but thank God for Steam.
It's actually more expensive to buy the X-Wing bundle, which is only four games. The X-Wing bundle is $12, and the 24 game bundle that includes all the X-Wing games is $6. Oh. Oh my god, Rebel Assault?
I wanted to ask you guys, is Brannigan's Law still playing SWTOR?
Yeah, I'm on there.
I reinstalled and I want to play a Sith Inquisitor.
Yes!
Oh yeah, I'll play. I saw
electrocute everything.
It might take me a while because I think I'm going to play through KOTOR and KOTOR 2 first.
Oh,
because it's been long enough that maybe I don't remember every single thing about those games anymore. This is my problem with KOTOR. Like, it's really good and I want to replay it, but then I get like a little bit in being like, oh, it's been long enough. I have forgotten enough that it won't just be boring. And then I realize that I have played this game enough times that I know everything that's going to happen and how to do all the things, and it loses its charm.
I own 24 out of 24.
Good.
So you already have X-Wing. You just need to play it.
Yeah.
You're doing it right, Andy. You're doing it right. And now we have to talk about Voodoo. God damn it.
God. Man. talking about hot garbage.
Okay, hold on. all right, let's talk about this week's comic.
This week's comic.
This week we're talking about Voodoo.
Oh man! If you read this comic in preparation for this episode, I'm sorry.
So the first trade is titled "What Lies Beneath," written by Ron Mars. This is the second in our episode series about new heroes, which is great. Because the other discussion we should have, I was thinking a couple months ago, it's really hard to create a new hero. I'd like to do a series of shows on characters that were created new, both in their that created their own canon, which was last week, which was Fathom, and created within a larger canon, which I was wanting to do this week with Voodoo and next week with Silk. But then David reminded me at the end of the Fathom episode that Voodoo is not new.
Yes, Voodoo is a Wildstorm. Wildstorm?
Yeah.
I believe, she's a Wildstorm character from the comic Wildcats. But Cats is an acronym. The other Wildcats that you might know, probably the only one that anybody else knows, is Grifter.
Oh,
who
yeah.
is a guy with a red cloth on his face. He's and two veil. Guns. He's legally distinct from Cable and Deadpool.
But, like, I think it underscores, like, to try and create a new character and insert the character into a canon as loaded as DC is, like, yeah, it's so much easier just to revamp a character. And then, I like, the idea of creating something new and having to build branding for it and all this kind of stuff. What I originally thought of for DC was Web, which was not New 52. It was before New 52, and the guy had, like, internet-based powers or something. But apparently that... No,
sorry.
But yeah, right. And I was thinking, that's got to be terrible, but I want to read it. But apparently he is a revamped legacy version of a character from, like, the fucking 50s or some bullshit. And it's like, I love the idea of legacy. And after this, we're going to do a series of comics on legacy around Starman and Stargirl and that whole legacy. And I'm super psyched. I think legacy in comics is a wonderful thing. But I don't think every character needs it. You know, if you want to make a new hero... If you want to make a new hero, make a new hero. I don't know how much this Voodoo is new versus the old Voodoo, but I'm willing to bet that Web that has internet-based powers is nothing like the guy from the 50s, because obvious reasons. Like, you don't have to tie in legacy with everyone. And I appreciate, I think, in a lot of ways, the way that Marvel is choosing to do it, where they're using legacy loosely with the new Ms. Marvel Kamala Khan, who is very different, but just kind of inherits the name. But even then, like, just give her her own name and let her stand on her own and not have to fall back on a brand that was established by a previous character who doesn't even want that brand anymore. Like, just at a certain point, let go and create something new. And you can do it and have it work in canon and it'd be fantastic. There's nothing wrong with new ideas standing on their own. They don't always have to be tied in. That said, that's the most coherent thought I will have on this comic all night.
Yeah. This comic.
So
this comic was very forgettable. Like, I read it... We were going to record last week, and I read it right before we recorded, and I already, like, forgot a lot about what happened.
All right. Let me remind you. Titties, titties, titties. Guns. Well, I remember that. Blackjack. Boobies,
Green
boobies.
Lantern.
Green Lantern. Oh, yeah. Kyle Rayner.
Green Lantern. Yeah.
Kyle.
Oh, what's the part... What's the blackjack thing? I actually legitimately don't... I don't remember what that was.
Think of him as a Black Ops version of Major Force.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's the... Yeah, yeah, he's like a Major Force Captain Atom guy. Yeah, yes. Yeah, okay, I remember. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
If you don't get those references, it's fine. You know everything you need to know about Blackjack from this comic. He's buff and shoots energy things. Done.
And he's wearing a tinfoil suit.
Yes.
Yeah, so like Voodoo, so one of the things in the notes you talked about, plot, right? Is she good or is she evil? I don't really know. I don't think she knows. And what this comic failed to do was make me care whether she was evil, good or evil.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, the strip club... beginning, I was like okay with that, because if you're gonna be an alien infiltrating like army intelligence, I guess a strip club's a great place to do it. And like, I think underlying that there is some commentary on like something in there with the feminism and things, but man, like, I could not give any fucks as to whether she was good or evil, or like the space hicks were good or evil. And I think part of it is like, it was so distracting because I think they were trying to be like making their weird commentary. And then by the end, there's like another alien man hunting her, and we're like, okay, that's fine, whatever. And then she just like busts in, and now there's this council, and it just, nothing really built up, and it didn't actually build her as a character. So the thing is, before you establish like your character's internal struggle, you have to establish your character, and this did not do that. It showed that she had big boobs and was attractive, and no one noticed her because they just saw her attractiveness. And it's like, okay, but that's like, attractiveness is not actually a character trait. You got to move beyond that. And I think that was kind of the main problem to no one who read this.
Wait,
caring
Jen,
about it.
You're telling me there's more about female characters than their boobs?
Well, they also have butts.
Oh, yes, it's true.
So, yes, yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Yes, point taken, yeah. Point taken. Yeah, I think, I mean, strip club, like you're saying, like, if that's your idea, is it's near an army base or whatever, and you want to get intel, and you want to study the human behavior or whatever she says, like, all that's fine. And even the background commentary with all the other strippers, like, being moms and stuff and just trying to live their life, like, okay. I think the big problem with it was that when New 52 came out, this was like a New 52 launch title, first wave New 52 launch title, and they hyped this mother up. They were like, we're folding in Wildcats. It's going to be part of the DC now. Let's do this. Here's Voodoo.
And they Grifter had his own title too.
Yeah, and they hyped this comic up so much. And then people read it and they were like, this is not any better, DC. What are you doing? Because they're also like, New 52, New World, we're going to be edgier and more appealing to women. Here's some boobs. And a non-July guy acting cool about it.
In her defense, her like actual costume, there's no cleavage.
Yes.
I don't know if you noticed that.
I mean, yeah.
So that's less boobs, I guess. I mean, not really, because... It's like, I don't even know what I feel like I should stop talking right now.
I would also say another big misstep is to have your character take their superhero name from literally a stripper name of a strip club. Like, she has or might not have a name, but she's going by Voodoo because she was the most popular girl at the strip club. And so that is the title of the comic. You made the title of a comic literally a stripper name.
So this is actually the second week in a row where we have read a comic where the titular character is, like, that's not actually like their Cape comic name.
Yeah, sorry, you said
titular. Like, how did this happen? Very good.
No, I think she does end up going by Voodoo, like, as a superhero name. She apparently, like, didn't get it from some cool adventure. She got it from showing her tatas.
Well, she earned it, apparently.
That can be okay. Like, this is the thing. Like, I feel like strippers legit don't get enough respect, and I don't think this comic is helping. Like, damn. Like, I don't know where they were trying to go with this. And it,
Yeah, and I'm not shitting on strippers. I like strippers.
I don't think you. I think this comic is not doing a useful portrayal.
Yeah, I like, you can have good stories in any space, including there, but this is not a good story, and it focuses too much on the fact that there's boobs being shown and not enough. Like we've been saying from the very start, there's no character here. There's tatas. The best, but actually there is character. And this is the problem. It's not Voodoo. It's the badass female agent whose name I forgot.
Yep, I forgot her name too.
Jen, say what?
Jen?
No, I can't help with this.
All right. Badass okay, I'm flipping. Agent is. Yeah.
They tried so hard to, like, set up all these things, too, to make us care about characters. Like, the female agent is sleeping with her partner. And then he dies. And it's like, you know that's supposed to make us feel bad for her. Or, like, feel like Voodoo's bad. Or, like, there's some vengeance that's required. But really, I'm just kind of like, maybe don't sleep with douchebags who get themselves murdered in strip clubs. How about that?
Her name is Agent Fallon.
That's right. Jimmy Fallon's sister.
I'm sure that's exactly accurate.
That's headcanon now. Headcanon.
I feel like such a turd for just being so mean to this comic, but it's because the weird thing is, like, sometimes we'll read something and I can, like, really express what I didn't like about it or, like, why it didn't latch for me, you know, what worked, what didn't. And here I'm just kind of like, eh, and I don't know why. Like, I cannot verbalize what made it not interesting to me. And that's actually really weird.
I mean, I know what you mean. The thing is, though, like, I feel like there isn't much beyond that. It's just not a good story. Like I said before, I just don't care about this story or this character. And I think that is, I mean, it doesn't matter how you dress up a story. If it's just bad, people aren't going to like it. Even Kyle Rayner couldn't save it. He's one of the greatest heroes in DC.
You're damn right. I'd like, for me, like, okay, Voodoo not having a whole lot of character, there are definitely comics that put tons of character in really early on and help you really latch onto the main character. But for me, like, sometimes there's not. And it's okay. Sometimes spectacle, you know, titties. And plot can pull you through a comic. We read Tarot, for Christ's sake. And that was a relatively fun experience. there's not a whole lot of plot development there either, you know? Like, or character development. That's just, you know, plots and big tracks of lands. Like, this, I think what gets me is the whole, is she good or is she evil? I don't know. And even by the end, it's not settled. And it's to the point where I, as a reader, if there's not going to be a character, and you're going to leave the strip club after the first issue, so then I can't just, like, zone out on boobs. Like, give me a plot direction to root for. And I don't. If she's going to be evil, let me root for her being evil. If she's going to be good, let me root for her being good. But I don't know. Like, she goes to fat alien redneck with his alien, you know, bimbos, and goes to them for help. So I'm like, okay, she's going to them for help. Maybe she's, you know, maybe we're going to find out they're good aliens or something. I don't know. And they just need a place to live. I don't know anything about the Demonettes. But maybe we'll find out something more. But we don't, really. And she just escapes because Kyle shows up. And Kyle's like, what the fuck's going on here, guys? And they try to kill him. So, okay, they're bad. But she went to them for help. So help's good. It's a confusing thing when I don't know where to go when rooting. Like, do I want them to successfully help her? Do I want her to kill them? I don't know.
I think what they were trying to go for here is this idea that, like, we're supposed to be rooting for a character who is doing the right thing if you are for her side. And that's actually kind of interesting, because that's, like, a good conflict setup, because we're told in superhero comics, like, these are the heroes and these are the villains. But, you know, if these people are here for, like, legitimate reasons or whatever, and then she's doing things that would put her against villains, but she's not actually evil, she's an anti-hero, and that adds depth. But we don't know why these random aliens are here, or, like, why they're gathering military secrets, and they keep dropping these hints, like, oh, it's a big deal, and she's got to protect her people and all this, but we never are given enough to latch onto to figure out, like, okay, so should we support her supporting their cause, even if we don't, like, think that their cause is good? You know, if it's going to pit her against people like Green Lantern, is it okay to be the kind of person who would fight Green Lantern? And those are not questions that are actually, like, really posed in the comic, I feel.
Yeah. And, I mean, thinking about how it's done in another comic, I'm reminded of Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur, where an Amadeus Cho shows up, and he's like, look, I get it, you're friends, but this is a fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like, I need to take him from you for at least a little while, okay? You know, and the idea that, like, Luna was doing good and wanted to do good from her perspective for what she knew, but obviously that's not the right way to go about things. You don't really want, like, a 10-year-old girl with a fucking dinosaur. And that's kind of a similar thing done in, I feel, a better way, maybe because it's not as divergent. It's a little bit easier of a thing to wrangle. But here, like, I don't know. I do get you're saying. That is the point in its favor. But she, like, shows up at the war council, and I'm a clone. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, like, oh god, can we just have left out all the clone shit? I would have been a lot happier. Because I don't think it needed that added layer of depth, at least not now. Maybe, I don't know, 50, 20 issues in? Could have added it when you're running out of plot, but, like, this plot never finished. It was never, like, it made clear what's happening, so don't just throw in the kitchen sink and hope it works.
I'm willing to bet the clone is there because the clone is going to absolve Voodoo of her sins in a certain way. So I'm willing to bet that she is the clone, Voodoo is the clone, and the original, which was captured, and that they cloned Voodoo from, is programmed with Demonite hybrid mission, whatever. So she's the one who is the all-out loyalist trooper of the Demonite Empire, or whatever they are. And so the clone was created and has that embedded in her body, that she has that drive. But once she realizes she's a clone, she can shed that, and therefore all of the killing and stuff that she has done in service of that genetic motivation is no longer her fault. It's the original's fault. But her as a clone, she has moved past that. Those were not her fault. She can now be a hero or be a whatever she ends up being. So, like, I feel like story-wise, the clone has a very simple function. Like, the clone is there to be like, I am a blah, blah, blah. I'm raging and actually going to kill every human I see, you know, like, she's gonna be that, which then makes Voodoo okay.
Yeah, that's gonna be so bad, and I think you're correct. I feel like the only way that they could make this good is in the next issue to kill off this Voodoo that we've been seeing this whole time and have it be a story about, like, the clone originator. That would be like a legit spin.
That'd be Superwoman.
Yeah, it would be, and that was good. We were we were all like, holy shit, when that happened. It was shocking, and that was a good thing.
Yeah.
I have to make a confession. This whole fucking time we've been talking about this dumbass comic, I've just been sitting here looking at pictures of Adam Driver petting dogs. Like, that's how I feel about this comic.
That sounds awesome, though.
They're good dogs. It's a good Adam Driver. It all works out.
Did you see the face swap with Adam Driver and Keanu Reeves?
Jen sent it to us, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was...
Yeah.
Okay,
of course. Yes, I did see that, actually.
Okay. Right up your alley, then.
Okay, I am sorry I just totally derailed us back onto Star Wars, but I'm also not sorry.
It's fine. That'll be next week, too, because we're recording that tomorrow night.
Yep. It's only going to get worse from here on out.
Yeah. Jackass Agent Guy from the strip club dies, but fuck him, he was a jackass.
Yeah, it's like... I wish they hadn't killed him off so early, because I didn't think that that was very good or interesting, and I don't know, like, they could have done anything with him, like, at all, instead of just introducing him, making him seem like he'd be a real character, and then, you know, not... It just, like, what was the point of him then? So he's the girl in the refrigerator for Agent Fallon. Okay. I'm not sure Agent Fallon needed a girl in the refrigerator, because she's supposed to be a badass agent who's hunting aliens, and I think that's reason enough to do something.
Well, this guy's supposed to be a badass alien hunter, too.
Apparently not.
But instead got caught with his dick out.
Also, my god, like, if you... Just voodoo, basically... She rapes Agent Fallon. She has sex with her under completely false pretenses.
Yeah.
Pretending to be another person. That's, like, really messed up.
Yeah. Pretty much.
She's not a good person.
No.
Which, in DC, that's...
She's not a stripper with the article. Rape.
She's a character. She's a stripper. No, I'm not even gonna go
She's
there.
Not a stripper with the heart of gold.
No.
Like, I don't know what to make of this comic. Like, what am I supposed to care about? Is Voodoo the protagonist? I mean, I guess she is because she's on the cover. But do we care about... I don't know.
I feel like Voodoo's too edgy for me. As a person.
She's too edgy for you?
Yes. Sorry, you
she does have sharp edges. Yes. I mean, those claws are sharp.
And she has some very round edges.
See, she's not too edgy for you, Andy. I guess it just depends on which edge you come in contact with.
How she shapeshifts. Oh, plus there was like the weird alien racism, too.
Yeah.
You hybrid scum. Like, didn't you make the hybrids? Like, aren't they also Daemonites? I don't know. What? Why does this have to be here right now?
Aliens in this the same race?
Yeah.
Species?
Yeah. But there's half-breeds or something. They're not pure. They're mudbloods.
Do the half-breeds, do they, like, get to pick their own shape, or... Are they supposed to be blue, like the one guy?
I don't know, because, yeah, that's the thing. They all, like, look different. Voodoo looks different than that one blue guy, looks different than the two, like, redneck girls.
Who looks different from the redneck?
Yeah, so, I don't know. I sympathize with Kyle Rayner just being like, who the hell are you people? That's something they should have answered for us and didn't. Also, that was a weird cameo. Like, did that... I don't feel like that needed to be in there aside to establish that there was outer space. Because Kyle Rayner hangs out in outer space. And yeah, but we got that because she's an alien. Like,
No, and I think this is what happens when you try to introduce in the character. Is that you need a cameo, right? Like, Moon Girl, there was the cameo from Amadeus Cho. In Kamala Khan, there's a cameo from Carol Danvers. in Silk next week. I'm sure there's going to be cameos from Spider-Man because that's how it goes. I feel like there has to be a cameo episode because, like, that way you can put the cameo character on the cover and maybe get some crossover interest. But I don't feel like if you're into Kyle Rayner, you're going to be into this. This feels like a very different thing from Green Lantern.
Well, she's also green sometimes.
Like, yeah, there's aliens and space things, but it's all on Earth and a very different totally thing. Who would be a good... Starfire would be a good crossover, because if you like reading... Because this was New 52 Starfire with, like, the slap bracelet over the boobs costume.
Slap bracelet.
Oh, yeah.
So if you were reading Starfire, you probably would have been interested in this. Or no, that was The Outsiders? I don't remember what comic that was that she was on the cover.
Yeah, Red Hood and The Outsiders.
Yeah. Have Red Hood show up. There you go. Same audience, I'm willing to bet. You could easily do that.
Wait, that was Red Hood, Red Arrow. They should have just picked another red person. Like Red Tornado instead of
Red Starfire. Voodoo. Just do Red Voodoo. And have Voodoo be on them team.
Guys, I don't care about this comic at all.
Yeah.
So you don't want to talk about the art?
Oh, you know a funny side story that's related to this? I used to have Pogs, like everybody did back in the day. There were Wildstorm Pogs, and I am pretty sure I had a Voodoo Pog.
Oh.
But not this Voodoo, the original... The OG Voodoo, you know, before she was cool.
Man, I'm still disappointed. I planned out that Pog game night. I had a Pog dungeon crawler thing planned out and nobody came.
That was a terrible idea, Andy. I'm sorry.
No, it was going to be super fun. Alex and I tested it. It was great.
No.
Yes, it was. It would have been awesome.
Anyways. Yeah, we can talk about the art. The art's actually pretty good. It's like nice and clean comic art. I really got a feel for what everybody looked like.
Faces were consistent. Characters were designed in a recognizable fashion. Even when they were being aliens, like, you still know who is who. And that's really good to have shape-shifting people and you can still tell like who they're supposed to be. I also feel like the coloring was done really well in this.
Yes.
The lighting is actually done quite well. Like, it's like the strip club lighting is it looks good. Or every time Fallon lights a cigarette, that looks good. I think there's like a fair amount of just subtle depth added by that. So. That's cool.
The highlight of the comic was the lighting in the strip club. This is where we are, DC. This is where we are with you.
This plot was just so meandering, but the art was good, and if this art was in a different comic, it's like totally solid.
So this was also at the time when it was really important. Marvel had announced their big initiative to include and introduce more characters that were persons of color. And so Marvel had made that announcement, and then Voodoo came out, and Voodoo, I think, is obviously a person of color.
Yeah, she's green, dude. She's green.
But, like, does it undermine that if she's a fucking alien? Like, here's the thing. I wonder about this because I'm straight white male, so I'm not there. But, like, if you have the character represent a certain way, but they are actually a fucking green alien, then do you get inclusivity points?
I think we actually have a good precedent for this. And, I never read far enough, so I'm actually quoting a friend, so sorry if I'm wrong. I think it's in Runaways, one of the characters, like the female characters, is a lesbian, and she's in love with someone she thinks is a girl, but it's a Skrull.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, but that's, like, a totally legit, like, gay representation. Because they're in a gay relationship, despite the fact that a Skrull is, like, a shapeshifter who can be either gender. So,
the Skrull chooses to stay in the present in the way that makes her partner happy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, if you see that here, where an alien is choosing to present as a person of color, I think that qualifies.
Does it detract if you believe that she's presenting as a person of color because it makes her a more exotic dancer at the strip club?
Like, no, like, I don't think so.
One of my main problems with this comic is not the fact that there's a strip club. It's the fact that so much of the character and what we understand of this character seems to have been created at the strip club. In my head. Like, her name comes from the strip club. I don't know. I don't think her host or whatever that she stole her identity from was a stripper, because they all talk about how she's new. But, like, it's okay to have your character be a stripper. I don't think that's the problem. I think it's a problem when your character derives a lot of their identity from their stripperness. You know, like,
I don't even think that's necessarily a bad thing. I just think it's about how it's executed. Because I think that can actually be like a really, like, you could do that as a really interesting exploration of, like, sexuality, of how people view each other in sexual settings, and how, like, sex workers interact with the rest of the world in relation to their personal lives and their jobs. Like, you could do that really well. This comic just chose not to.
Yeah.
I think it was just a shallow view of it that was meant to be there as, like, oh, she's so sexy. Look at how sexy she is. She's a bad girl. Which is, like, I think...
she's a bad just, girl.
Yeah, right. But it's like, such a, like, unfocused view of a character, and it's lacking depth, whereas they could have gone with, like, you know, like, as I said, I think it makes really good sense that you would take an alien spy who can shapeshift and have her be a hot lady in a strip club near an army base. That's, like, a great way to have her get information. But then you could, like, show her being intelligent about that, like, in terms of, she discusses it and, like, why she made those choices, or, like, and there are times we see her use seduction multiple times, actually, with, like, Fallon, with the random computer programmer dude, when she shuts down that base. She uses seduction in order to get what she wants. It's a means to an end. But I don't know. To me, it seemed more here like it was about the spectacle of it rather than, like, it's a good strategy. And that's the issue.
Yeah. Well, do you guys want to rate this?
Sure.
Okay.
That's the enthusiasm I was looking for. Hell yeah. Before we get to this, I just want to do a thing we've been doing ever since episode 300. I want to thank the people who made this, Ron Mars and Josh Williamson for writing it, Sammy Barcy and Henry Preseta on pencils, Jessica Colline on colors, Jared Fletcher on letters. Even if I butchered your names, and no matter what we say after this, no matter what we've been saying about this comic, like, the fact that you went out and made a thing and published it and got out into the world and got into our hands, like, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of creative effort. And whether or not it goes down in history as a great comic or a terrible comic, like, you did it. And we didn't. We're sitting here talking about it. You're the ones who did it. So all of what we're going to say aside, thank you guys for taking the effort to make it. I'm going to go first because I never do. I'm going to give this... Shit, why did I choose to go first? I'm going to give this a 1. I was about to say 1.5, but I'm just going to go with a 1. I was about to say, you know, maybe I'll read the second one because there's a second trade, but I'm never going to. Maybe if this would ever tie back into some overarching story, but since I've never heard of the Damonites, and I don't think I'm going to hear about them again, I don't think they matter. I don't remember seeing space ticks anywhere else, so... yeah, I guess that's it. They don't matter. She doesn't matter. I don't know if she's good or bad. I don't care. One. Green Lantern looked good. Go, Kyle! David?
You know, I'm going to give this a one also. I thought the art was great. I mean, stylistically, it's really well drawn and everything. And I like Ron Mars. Like, I think he's a great writer. This is just not a great comic. And I mean, that happens sometimes. So don't beat yourself up, Ron.
It's cool, bro. It's all right, man.
I so love you, man. But seriously, like, it's just, like, sometimes there's bad comics that are still entertaining and I care about on some level. This one I just don't care about. Like, it's just not, it's not great. So, yeah. Sorry. It's a one.
Jen?
It's a one. And, you know, I do feel like just a real jerk being like this comic shit, but I don't feel like it, I don't feel like it was cohesive. I think that the plot meandered heavily and we never got a good sense actually of who the main character is aside from an attractive shapeshifter. And I think that there was some commentary in there about how people view each other and interact and the ways that that can be subverted. But I don't think it ever got to the surface. I think it took a fair amount of digging in our conversation to kind of pull that out of there. And I don't even know how true it is as a statement on my part. So I don't think that this comic provided me with a good enough reason to care about any of its characters, because it didn't build up for them enough. It just went from plot point to plot point and was all action with no development. And in your first comic, you've really, like the first issue of a run, you really need some good establishing development to just show your audience, like, who these people are supposed to be and why they should keep reading. That said, the art was good, but I will give it a one.
Honestly, a one between all three of us is higher than I thought we were going to give it. So hooray. That's it for this week. Next week, we're going to read Silk, The Life and Times of Cindy Moon by Robbie Thompson. This isn't where Silk was introduced. Silk was introduced as part of like a Spider-Verse event kind of a thing. But this is where Silk is going to come into her own as a character. It's her first part of a title run. After this, she gets an ongoing, which is still ongoing 2 years later. So that's awesome. About to be 3 years later. So we're going to read this one. It's kind of the encapsulated story. And from here, you can then roll into the ongoing that starts at number one again. But yeah, Silk, The Life and Times of Cindy Moon by Robbie Thompson. If you like the show, go to welcometocomics.com. On the left, you can hit past shows and listen to our 307 previous episodes. You can hit future shows, see what we have coming up. You can go to patreon.com/welcometocomics and support us today. If you do it for a penny, we will love you. And if you do it for more than that, there's benefits, but I also don't even remember what they are. So it's really just to go and give some support and let us know that you care and like the show. Anyway, that's it for now, everybody. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.